the prophet created the universe and then came out to provide the believers and unbelievers. And made his joint blessings be on the feet of his prophets, the last of his messengers, and his worthy prophets. One matter that I left standing yesterday, which I indeed wish to pick up, because I think it is important not to omit it, is again an episode reported in Darul Salaam, and this comes from Allama Sheikh Mirza Khalid. He says he was living in Tehran and had a friend he called Ali Talib. And his friend was not a particularly religious person. There are times he would fast, there are times he did not fast, he was not particular about his prayers. And that caused some friction between him and Sheikh Khalid. But they remained good friends. Until the time came when his friend passed away. But at that time then, Sheikh Khalid had already moved on to Najaf and was living in Najaf. And suddenly he saw his friend in a dream in a very uncomfortable state, with chains and being pulled again, similar versions that we talked about last night. Terrible situation. And Sheikh Ali was not surprised that it was happening, but again, Ali Talib was not allowed to speak to Sheikh Ali. So the moment he neared him, he was pulled away and Sheikh Ali's eyes opened. After a while, he sees him in the dream again, and sees him in very good condition. And so Sheikh Ali asked him, what happened? I did not expect that you would come out of this condition so soon. But you look comfortable, you've done well. What is it that has saved you? And he said, only one thing has saved me. There were problems with me on Salah, there were problems with me on Salah, there were problems with me on home, there were problems with me on other debts that I owed, and all these remained unsettled. But then, Sayyid Ali Kirman Shahid, who was the Alim of the mosque in Tehran, where Ali Talib now is again went, and in any way Ali Talib was running a bar, and his Ali sometimes went there for his bar, so he knew him. And he says, Sheikh Ali Kirman Shahid organized to pay all my debts. He has my salah stipend, which covers my arrears. He has my salary stipend, which covers the arrears. He paid some money for homes, which covers my liability for homes. He paid money for us in Allah, which covers the other debts. And so, when all those debts were satisfied, I was released from those chains and was even transferred from Tehran to Najaf. Now, Sheikh Ali Mirza was surprised to hear all this. The eyes opened, he could not swear to him anymore, he had no access to Ali Talib. And then one day, very soon, within a week, he had a friend from Tehran, who was not quite a mutual friend, but a mutual acquaintance with Ali Talib and Sheikh Ali. So Sheikh Ali asked him, because what are the news about Ali Talib? So Ali Talib has already passed away, and he's in some time now. But Sheikh Ali, Kirman Shahi, has settled his affairs. He paid a sum of money to have his salah recited, to have his song recited, and to pay for his brother Khalid, and to pay his money. Sheikh Ali asked him, how do you know that? He said, well, I got this information from Sheikh Ali Kirman Shahi himself. So you can see that the authenticity of the dream was proved by independent evidence of this other acquaintance who comes to Najaf, meets Sheikh Khalid and satisfies him with what he saw in the dream was all true, what Ali Talib showed in the dream was all true. So this is why I didn't want to send saying this thing, that therefore for us to have prayers of our parents, grandparents decided to have fast steps in the name on their behalf, to have their own space, to have Rasha Bhavani laid out. All health to the group, all health to making him happier and removing him, averting him the difficulties in which he would be found at any time. And as I recite these episodes, friends come to me and tell me their episodes. And this happens around the world. It happened to me, it happened to me, alhamdulillah, in Mumbai. Friends have told me how they have seen their parents and how they have verified and the information they got in the dream through. And friends in other parts of the world, in West, in England, in America, wherever I've recited this particular series, I've always had friends coming to tell me how they have had their experiences with their parents and have had information from their relatives before come out. Which takes me back to where I started, because I'm going to move to the next topic straight away, but before I do that, it takes me to this where I started, that these ahadith that we got were authentic. And indeed, until today, these people meet up, and they meet up in Badr al-Hifani, their bodies are standing in the graves in which they are, but they are given this other body with which they live in Baghdad. It shows proof that Baghdad exists, and in Baghdad, there are the happy, beneficial occasions, and there are the unhappy, painful occasions. I do not pretend we have covered the area exhaustively, but I hope we have taken a bird's eye view to get some impression of what goes on in Baghdad. But what is frightening? That day that the Holy Prophet came here for him and importantly called Sadhul Akba, the day of great terror. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that day at various places in the Holy Quran. I do not propose to take you to all those ayahs, primarily because last year we have covered them in our discussions of scientific knowledge in the Holy Quran. But maybe remind you of the verses you know by heart, verses of Surah Waqi'ah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا الْكَاذِبَةُ. And then Allah Ta'ala says that in respect of mountains, they will become dust. إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّا وفصل الجبال حقا فكانت انشاء مذهب مذكر. He says the great event is a Ramadan in Waqia, when that great event will take place. And later the Waqia al-Kadhiba, this is an event which cannot be denied. Now, Surah Waqi'ah was revealed in Makkah. When it was revealed in Makkah, it was in the early days of Islam, as you know, the Makkah days. And the Makkans were extremely severe against the Holy Prophet. One thing they were very severe about was their denial of the Day of Judgment. Because they were people who were used to doing whatever they liked. And they did not like to be told that they would be corrected. People who want to do what they like do not want to be asked, why did you do this? Or what you did was haram. What you did was wrong. What you supposed to do? Why did you do this? Not perform. They just did not want to do that. And so you can see, talking about that day, Allah says, for that event, it is not possible to deny. Is that object of our work here? The Ustad in Jibal in Pakistan, when the earth will crush in like a dust, and the mountains will crumble again like dust, and it will all be as though it is just dust in the wind. So you can see what a horrific situation that is going to be. Now, last year we discussed how the sun will die. how the earth will die, how all the planets will die, how the whole solar system will die, and how the whole universe is likely to come to an end. Well, from the scientific angle, but we examine ayat from Quran and we examine a number of ayat from Quran, and so I will not take your time again tonight over those ayat from Quran. But there is a certainty that day of judgment will come, and when that day of judgment comes, then everybody will be assembled. But before that happens, it is this crushing part which is horrific, because everybody will die. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Everything will die, and so will men, therefore. So will men. The button kept asking, when will that day come? يسألونك متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وأنا نذير مبين. We have examined these ayat of Surah Al-Mukhlisun, so I will not take much of your time and say to you the translation of it. They the Muslims keep asking you, then it is only proper. When will that appointed day come? متى هذا الوعد, when will it arrive? They want you to know the exact day. And the reason they wanted to know the exact date was firstly to check on its truth, but also to know how long they have been in fight. But who knows the date except Allah Himself, glorified and exalted. And He and the Prophet is told, tell them, only Allah knows. Qul inna al-'ilmu 'inda Allah, that knowledge is with Allah. وَأَلَا تَذِيرُ الْمُبِينَ, I'm here only as a clear warner to you that day will come. Well, true, the Holy Prophet was talking to the Muslims, and he's not going to say otherwise. But he was also telling us that ayah of Quran remains to the day of judgment when the Muslims are gone. And once the Muslims are gone, that ayah remains in Quran. That day will come, and the Holy Prophet is the warner. And we will discuss more of the warnings that he has given us. He is the warner, and he clearly says that day will come. In Surah Yasin, that very question is put, but the answers are different. There are instances where أَلُوْكَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَىٰ صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً سَأَخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَحِسْبُونَ. They ask you, when will that appointed day come? Tell them, you are not waiting except for a gigantic cry from the sky. And once that cry comes, everything will collapse. You're not waiting, my Aluna, you are saying at the Wahida. The Abuluhum, it will erect the wall. And it will erect the wall at a time when they will be involved, they will be engaged in worldly affairs. Now, that is the fight to pass. We do not want to be in worldly affairs when that happens. We want to be engaged in the worship of Allah, glorified and exalted. However, the Holy Prophet, the Ayah of Quran is clear. When men will be engaged in worldly affairs, trifling matters, they will be seized, they will be arrested. So, Al-Qurahum is the word Yasin uses. And my interpretation of that is arrested, meaning they will all die. Instant heart failure? I do not know. But they will instantly die. Well, when Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam was asked about the effect of the cry, he said the effect of the cry will be so gigantic that people will die only from hearing the sound of that cry. So that could be the cause of that instantly. What are these worldly affairs in which they will be engaged at that time when the other will come? He said, some will be engaged in selling their products. The businessman will be selling his cloth. He will be meeting the purchasers. The purchaser will be buying his cloth. And the seller will be measuring the meters that he wants to sell. And as he is measuring the meters, before he is able to finish measuring the meters, the cry will come and he will collapse. And the purchaser will collapse. So you can see how practical this is. The second example he gave was that his herdsman, that was the example of the businessman, the herdsman would have taken his crop, would have taken his crop to the watering plant, so that the crop can have some water. And the crop will have come, the sheep and the goats will have come to the water, and will want to drink the water, will have extended their necks. And before they had sucked the water, the cry will come, and all the sheep and goats will die. He talks of that person who will be on his table, eating his meal with his family. He will raise the morsel in his hand, put it in his mouth. Before it reaches his mouth, the cry will come, and he will die. So you can see, the will of Allah is ajaa'at-ta'ah, as we say. When that time comes, there will be nothing that will be able to delay even by a second. Nor will anything be able to bring it forward even by a second. It is the time Allah has appointed and Allah knows. As I said last year, the scientific calculations are purely their theories. They go right, they go wrong, matter not. But they can see how the sun is reacting, and this is exactly as the Holy Book talks about the sun, how it is exhausting, it's serious and enticing. But we do not want to regret those facts. Going further from that, that is the situation. The Holy Prophet says, they will be caught in that way. لا ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون فلا يستطيعون توصيتهم ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون. They will not understand you to write their will. But let us write our will tonight. Who of us knows who will wake up tomorrow morning? So let us make sure that those who have not written, because there is a clear warning there. What are they supposed to do? That they will not be able to write their will. What I am and him as your own, they will not even be able to go back to their home, to their family. They will die wherever they will be, and the families will die wherever they will be. That is the complex situation that we are in. And in these circumstances, naturally, the first thing I want to do before doing anything else is to discuss what are the things that help us in relieving us from the terror of the day of judgment. Because all this is so horrifying. So what is it that we can do to relieve us? And there are a number of the ahadith about amal that help us to save ourselves from the terror of the day of judgment. The first that is there is the Holy Book, recitation of the Holy Book. It is said that those who can recite Surah Yusuf every day will on the day of Qiyamah rise from their graves in a state in which they will shine with handsomeness of Hazrat Yusuf, similar to that of Hazrat Yusuf. In other words, they will be in very peaceful conditions, they will be in bright conditions, they will not be in chains, they will not be in any difficulty. Another hadith states that reciting Surah Al-Fatihah, either in Sunnah Namaz or in Wajib Namaz, averts the terror of the day of judgment. Another hadith talks Surah Al-Falaq, reciting that in Wajib Namaz or in Sunnah Namaz has to release the terror on the day of judgment. Surah Al-Asr is one of the shortest surahs in the Holy Book. Reciting that in Wajib prayers or in Sunnah prayers, by reading books, relieves one of the terror on the day of judgment. He will come out from the grave in happiness and in pleasure, and will go through the day of judgment and will straight get into paradise in heaven. Such is the effect. But Surah Al-Asr has its own great value, because it talks of the loss of human beings. The recitation of that surah reminds us of that law and puts us straight in the ladina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Reminds us of those four things that we have to do and keeps us on the straight track. What wonder we should be able to go to paradise. actually to see those ahadith exist. Another ahadith says that the person that those who respect people with white hair will also find themselves relieved of the terror on the day of judgment. They try also find people with more white hair. If you cannot be respected because of your own good deeds, you look for a beard to respect. But obviously that is not the meaning of that hadith. So the true meaning is that we respect elderly people who really become great through age and experience. Now, you would think that these hadith relate to good done to other people. Respect to senior people is what Allah likes to see amongst his people, that they respect those who are advanced in age. And this is a last quote by the Holy Prophet himself, which we have on many points. And a number of ahadith on it. Well, those who are able to do that and respect the seniors, and alhamdulillah, that is very noticeable in the community. So in our community, throughout the world, the seniors are treated with respect, and this is important. All the more so, I hope that some of the positions in Mumbai and Shah did not take much of your time, but to touch it, I must, because one doesn't see that in other countries in the world, in our community, unfortunately. Therefore, it is vitally important that youths look after their parents, because those with white beards, that is those who become famous. If they are looked after in this world, those looking after them will have a peaceful time on the day of judgment. But other people will be terrorized by what is happening. Those youths who looked after their parents, respected them, met their affairs, treated them with respect, because that is the most important thing. These elders are people who have always been treated with respect in their youthhood, and they want to continue treating with respect in their old age also. So treating them with respect and giving them the honor that is due to them, looking after them is one strong way of making sure that the terror of the Yom Kiyama is relieved altogether. Well, this is quite apart from all other ahadith on gratitude, some of which I have already touched on last week. So that is that dying at times when you are traveling to Makkah, or returning from Makkah, relieves you from terror of the day of judgment. Dying in the port of subsidiary haram relieves you from the terror of the day of judgment. Very, very important consideration. One important matter that will lead you from the terror of the day of judgment is to restrain your anger when you have the capability of being angry. If you don't have a standing in front of you and be angry, and you're not angry, well, you haven't scored a point. But when you can be angry, let us say to a servant, let us say to a student or a son, and you restrain your anger, Allah rewards you with so much reward that on the day of judgment when other people will be terrorized because you did not terrorize others whom you could have, Allah will save you from the terror of the day. So that is extremely important. Then looking after the widows and the orphans relieves you from the terror of the day of judgment. That then is an important subject. This we have already touched on last week because we have touched it on the basis of their property. But apart from their property, looking after them, seeing that their welfare is protected. In other words, relieving them from terror, relieving them from fear. What will I eat tomorrow? How will I feed my children tomorrow? A widow in that sort of state of anxiety, those who relieve them of their anxieties will find that their own anxieties on the day of judgment are taken care of by Allah and they move to paradise without being bothered. The house is the soul of the day of judgment. Well, the other matter of importance is the love of Abdul Qayyim. So you can see this subject keeps coming all the time. I talked about it last night, particularly in relation to the Al-Ashura. And I will talk about this inshallah tomorrow night again. This is great of the country. So you can see almost every stage, every mandal that we talk about, the love of our faith becomes a supreme. And it is vital that we are talking about the love of Ahlul Bayt in these days when we are in the process of expressing our love for Ahlul Bayt. And so as we come to these majalis, it's important that we weep on Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we do mention, we convince them that we have true love for them. Because, as I said before, and therefore I will not debate it, but only remind you quickly, in seconds only, so that we make them say that we are their friends. Us claiming that we are their friends is not enough. But they saying, well, we prefer that they say that they are our friends. But if we cannot reach their level, at least they should be able to say, yes, we are their friends. That is important. Diluna, as Prophet alayhi salam says, be our decorations, do not be a disgrace to us. Well, numerous ahadith, I do not need to take the time on it, but even Sunni books contain a number of ahadith which say that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, told Imam Ali alayhi salam that you and your peers will enter paradise without terror. The terror of the day of judgment will be relieved from those who love you and your Ahlul Bayt. In other words, the shears of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam will be relieved from the horrors of the day of judgment. And I have noted some Sunni sources already to you in respect of that hadith, but all meaning the tafsir books of Ahlul Sunnah. For example, that of Fakhr al-Razi, Ghulam al-Mansur. In respect of that ayah of Quran, we say that those who will reach Jah, those who will come to the day of judgment with Khusna, they will be relieved from the horrors of that day. Well, the Holy Prophet was asked, Khusna means with goodness. He was asked, what is this goodness? What is Khusna? And he was asked by companions, but there were many companions sitting. And this is why one finds this hadith is recorded in almost all Sunni tafsir. Of course it is recorded in our tafsir. But tafsir means the commentary books of the Holy Quran. But they are recorded in Sunni tafsir books also. Ask, what is this goodness with which we have to go on the day of judgment if we want to be spared the horrors of the day? The Holy Prophet says, the goodness is love for Ali alayhi salam and love for those in the Ahlul Bayt of Ali alayhi salam. So you can see the hadith, the ones that I cited last week, were in pure ahadith. This is even in the tafsir of Quran. And a number of surahs. This is one example I'm quoting because we are behind schedule and I don't want to catch up in the remaining times that are in the middle of the border. But it is clear beyond question that love of Ahlul Bayt is vital. Let me take a few of your seconds, I hope and no more, to share you an experience I have myself had. I was in Bali, reciting in the normal way as we do. And the group from Iran came, and as you know, when the group from Iran comes, they have their own alim, and the alim recite the ziyarat aloud, and they cry aloud. And the mubaligh, the Wahhabi mubaligh comes over. Now I was standing in front, the group was behind, so I could not move out. This comes out and starts addressing this Iranian crowd, but addressing them in Arabic. He made a speech saying that this is bid'ah, you cannot be crying like this, and you do not need to make these salams like this. And then he made a vital statement, which I have heard myself, which is insane. The love of Ahlul Bayt is essential. That is the word he used. And then he went further and said, and this is only 3-4 years back that I had this experience. And then he went further and said, it is true that without love of unrepent, even salah is not effective.
No.
So I can boldly now say that it is unanimously accepted by all Muslims that that is the position. Now, that fifth light I talked about, let us make it stronger and stronger, because that light works not only at the stage I mentioned about, because I was only mentioning about the first light, not only the first light, but you can see that every stage, now I have grandly interpreted by the Holy Prophet Muhammad, that with love of our faith, alayhi Muslim, even the horrors of the Day of Judgment will be averted for us. And let us pray tonight as we're sitting here, because we are sitting in the name of the pastor, and let us pray in his name that Allah should keep the love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts to our last breath. That Allah should keep the love of Ahlul Bayt, the name of Allah, in the hearts of our children, so they also become good children. Because that is so vital in this day. So that is another hadith on what will avoid the horrors of Yawmul Qiyamah, and another matter that will forgive us of the horrors of Yawmul Qiyamah is helping a fellow believer, giving clothes to a needy person, giving money to a needy believer. It is, I have kept emphasizing since last week that the important thing in our life, if we want to have a good next life, is to make sure that in this life we live in love and affection. And living in love and affection clearly means that we do spend our money on other believers in helping to relieve them. To relieve them of their problems, to help them live more comfortable lives. The more fortunate members of the society have that duty, and those who will undertake that duty will find that the horrors of the Day of Judgment are relieved from them. I'll come back to this when we come to the next stage, coming out of the grave. I will discuss that situation, this hadith again and again on Sirat. All this helping other people, nothing like helping another woman, because helping another woman in this world means Allah helps you in the next world. And that is both in Barzakh and on the day of death. So that habit, and form that habit, as I said before, sooner in life rather than later. Because the sooner you start paying from your reserve to poor people, sooner Allah gives you more barakah in your own income. You suddenly find your own income is increasing because you have helped other people in distress. Allah is the giver. We give them and give you. It is not you who is giving them. It is me, but it is Allah who is giving them. Allah says this to Surah Bani Israel. So it is Allah who gives the money. Allah gives you to give them only to give you salah. Only to be able to avert this horror on the day of judgment. Because otherwise Allah, instead of giving you, would have given them directly. But this is the test, and we must go through this with that knowledge that what is in the Quran will come true on that day. And these are hadith of helping the poor and will avert the horrible Day of Judgment is by all Masumi alayhi Muslim. That is why it is not mentioned. There is a hadith from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, from the Imam Hassan, from the Imam Hussein, from the fourth Imam, from the sixth Imam. Indeed, when we are discussing the lives of the Imam, we discuss those hadith also. So that is but apart from that, those of you who have their hearts in God, Jawshan and Kabir in Mahe Ramadan saves you from the terror of the Day of Judgment. In other words, سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت الغوث الغوث خلصنا من النار يا رب. Now, how is that? And we almost a smart, found the names of Allah in your sanctuary. So that is one dua that helps immensely in relieving the horror of the Day of Death. Well, so that is the situation with the Day of Death. It will come unexpectedly, it was touched on hard, and then we will be taken out from the grave. We will be taken out from the grave. One of the foolish, and then there will be the prophet, which is trumpet. Indeed, when that happens, even angels will be trembling. When that trumpet is blown from the, according to what you read of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, even the angels will tremble. Indeed, at one stage, the Holy Prophet stood great in a terrified state with Jibril. I've never seen you in this state. He said, we are still lying some in the state, because suddenly I saw Israfil in the place where he will be when he will blow the trumpet. So I was afraid that the time for the trumpet has come. So you can see when Jibril does not know what time it will be. Anyone Jibril is afraid of that trumpet, because when it comes, Allah is the only saver. Well, let us look at that will help us. If Allah helping us on that day when that happens. And when that will happen, Allah Ta'ala in Yasin says that all of them will get there. All people will get together on that day of Mahshar. Now that is in itself a terrifying fact. When we say, now at the moment we know there are 6 billion people living in the world. But this is centuries after Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. How many people must have come and gone till then? Who knows how many more years there are for this world? How many more will come? All those people assembling on that day of judgment. And Allah, in the very third verse of the opening of the book, says, Maliki Yawmiddin. He will be the chairman of that gathering of billions, trillions of people who will have gathered to give their recording. He will not only be the chairman of the meeting, he will be the Malik, he will be the owner of the day, the king of the day. And I say that proves that he is Allah. And it's not a great thing for him. He created a king of those people who are together. He saw each of them die. He knows the amal of each of them. And hence for him to judge each of them is not going to be. It's not going to be a difficult task. In the Holy Book he says it is very easy for him to take an account of all the people who will be gathered on that day. But to be that accounting, that will be the difficult part. And I don't start it now because we will deal with it tomorrow in Sha'Allah, the accounting part. But when that happens, there are horrific stories about the kind of people who will rise. Those who do not regard Imam Ali alayhi salam as high and honorable will come out of their grave with their neck bound in chains. And all those chains would be 300 swords. So when you come out of the grave with that sort of chain around you, we will be able to know who was the one who did not regard Imam Ali alayhi salam as honor. So you can see the wilaya working at all stages and in all directions. Then those people who were backbiting, that thing that I just recited about Imam Ali alayhi salam, let me emphasize, comes from the Holy Prophet himself, peace be upon him and his followers. The other hadith, Shakhtadu alayhi rahmah reported, comes from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his followers, and says that those people who spend their time backbiting against other Mu'minin. This is a horrific part. Why do we do this? But spending time backbiting against other human beings. I stopped this last week, so I will not take your time. Those who create mischief in the community. I am not saying that if something goes wrong in the community, we should not protest. No! We cannot allow wrongs to continue in the community. Wrongs should be put right. But they should be put right without intention, without wisdom. Wrongs should not be allowed to be perpetuated, because wrongs after wrongs will continue and the community will decay. We've got to improve the community, we've got to make sure the community progresses. But we cannot progress without mischief. The word used in hadith is mischief, fitna. So that those who create mischief in the community only to create contention so that there is goodwill in the community, or only to despise those who oppose you, those people on the day of judgment. Well, before the day of judgment, they will have fire in their grave, and when they come out, they will come out in chains, and those chains will be erupting fire. So you can see how those people will emerge from the grave. And then a hadith about people who, for example, commit the sin of looking at the opposite gender with lust. Well, that is not permitted. And the hadith says that they will come out of their grave again in chains which will have fire. And the fire will be setting fire to their bodies also. This is before the fire of hell comes. So it's important that we keep out of that sin and get away from the sin altogether. On the other hand, those who will fight it, those who will keep away from sin to attain taqwa, will be without any fear on the day of judgment and will move on in honor and in dignity. Those who are too faithless and too sound, the person who comes to me and says, oh, you recite wonderful hadith, comes to you and says, look at that man, what nonsense he speaks when he speaks. There is no need to do that. When there is nonsense, you must come and tell me directly. Because not only do you teach me that what I'm saying is nonsense, you give me the opportunity to come and correct myself so that those who have believed me should not believe me. That is how we are supposed to live it. But two faces, two tongues, is generally true in politics. So when one is in politics, one has to be careful that one does not become two faces, one does not become two tongues, because two tongues people on the day of judgment will emerge from the truth, from the grave, with two tongues. One will come out of their mouth from the front, and it will come out right up to their chest, and it will be having fire on the tongue, and that fire on the tongue will blaze their face, and there will be another tongue from behind their neck. So two tongues will come out, and it will be declared that these two sons of the day of judgment had two sons in the world when they were alive. So we have to be extremely careful about how we behave in respect of what we talk to other people and how we behave to them. On the other hand, those who help other people will find that on the day of judgment, they come out in honor, they will be exported in honor, and they will be moved away from the horrors of the day of judgment so that they do not even notice them. Firstly, those who join the procession of Mayyit, when the bear comes out to go to the graveyard, well, you have it coming out from the graveyard, but from where it comes out to the grave. Those who follow in that procession with the bear, with the coffin, behind the coffin, carrying the coffin, carrying the coffin, obviously has greater power, but those in that procession are all rewarded. And their reward is that on the day of justice, they will have no horror, there is no terror to terrify them, they will come out of the grave with bright, shining faces, with honor and dignity. But particularly those who have helped other Muslims. It is said that in respect of those who have other Muslims, they will come out of the grave with their father and his body, because on the day of judgment the original body will now come out. And we've gone through this. The Holy Prophet asked, how will the original body will it come out? Years will have passed and the bones will have decayed, and the Holy Prophet said, وَذَرَبَلَدَ مَقْرَبُ مُوَنَسِيَ قَلْقَ قَالَ مَنْ يُحِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَاهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. They come to you and bring you old bones, and they said, look at this old bone, you say that this will be revived. We don't know whose bone it is. Will it go back to the whole body of him who has his bones? and the Holy Prophet in his soul told them that yes, this bowl also will get into the body of the one who had it and will be revived. And the revival will be carried out by the very person who created them in the first place. He who created them in the first place has the capacity to create them again on the day of judgment. And that episode is reported in the Holy Book about the Ibrahim, asking how that will happen, and the story of the four birds, and how the four birds were killed and yet were revived. So, man will come up in the original body, but he will have the Badan and Ifari that we talked about in front of him. And as he passes through the stages of the day of Qiyamah, as he passes through the day, and he is horrified to see other people in that trouble, for example, a person coming out with two tongues, to see a person coming out with fire out of his body, to see drunkards, for example, will come out, people who drink intoxicating liquor will emerge from their grave with stars and flames. Yahuwah, yes, what will we do? The day on which faces will be darkened, as the Holy Book says. Then these will be drunken. And indeed, those who are singers and musicians for matchmaking, which is calm, well, those will also come out with those musical instruments in their hands, they will be beating themselves on their heads with them. All the hadith from the Holy Prophet came here on many projects. Now, seeing all that alone, even if you are not involved, is terrifying. The Badr al-Ifrani will turn around to him and say, look, this is not going to affect you. Don't worry about this soul. I am escorting you to paradise. And you are going to paradise. You will not be affected by all this. And when they reach here, the destination, the person emerging from the grave looks at his other person and says, you have been so kind to me. Every time I was satisfied, you put me in peace, you put me in pleasure. You have not allowed me to be in stress or distress. Why are you so kind to me? He turns around to me and he turns around to the person and says, I am not being kind to you. It is your own act. You see me in the state that I am really personifying your virtues, those virtues by which people in distress in the world came to you with their problems. You pacified them, and having pacified them, helped them, and relieved their anxieties, you took anxieties away from their minds, and Allah has sent me to take anxieties away from your mind today. How intensely useful that is. Again, love of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, comes in from it, that on the day of judgment, all shears will be undercover. That heat of the day, and we've already discussed this, the day of 50,000 years, we've discussed this in our scientific knowledge in the Holy Quran. We've already covered that area, and the heat that will be there, the billions of trillions of people together in itself will create a horror. All that situation will be solved for shears, they will be under shelter, and they will be in the protected area, and they will move under protected areas so much so that they will not even witness the horror of the day of judgment. This would be the state of those in the dust of the Baitan in Islam. And hence I keep saying, it is vital that we maintain ourselves in the love of Ahlul Bayt to the last day. There will be no helper on the day of judgment as they would be. And they would have all the powers to help as many people as they are like. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, not an Imam alayhi salam in his own right, but rightly called Babul Hawaii. And he is called Babul Hawaii because those Babul Hawaii means the gateway to fulfillment of wishes. Those with wishes, have always gone to him. And when they have gone to him, their wishes have been fulfilled. Wishes in respect of this world have been fulfilled. Wishes in respect of the next world have been fulfilled. The episode that I mentioned last night about how a person takes the body of his mother to the Israeli of the Father, we discussed it last night. And clearly has the father they put out heaven to maybe no accounting for her prayers and shown. But the Ali did not. The God, he was there, and that had to be put right. But you can see proof in this. But one does not need proof. You hardly need a Shia who does not tell you that he had hajjat and kept a vow from the Prophet of Islam and he was not fulfilled. Leave Shias alone. How many members of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah will tell you that they have kept manat of coming to the Prophet of Islam and was fulfilled? And keep them aside, keep the Muslims aside, even the non-Muslims. I was with Noah and I was too, and I asked what was it like to use a bag. And they said, we have no problem. We have excellent relations with our Hindu neighbors, particularly because when we take out the Zazia, they want to come and perform their manat, their vows on the Allah Muhammad is Allah today, and we facilitate them always because it is their right. We look after them when they drive to faith. They came over to us and said, no, we will protect you. We will ensure that you Muslims are not hurt or injured. We will protect you. We will come and live in your houses if you like. You come and live in our houses. We will protect you. All we need from you is that when your Allah comes out, we should be able to come and pay our respect. That is the respect that the Prophet Islam has in this world, even from those who do not believe in it and do not want to believe in it. I was told by the president of Mumbai Jamaat in those days that when your profession was taken out, and I say this because I do not want to say anything about other episodes. I want to say about something which you yourself have experienced. When you wanted to take out your profession, the commissioner of police made a rule different from the usual rules and cut out all Hindu rules and made a small procession passing through Muslim areas only. And the president said, the committee immediately decided we will accept this. No appeal to the commissioner of police, we will accept it and our profession will only change these rules. When the Hindus got that map, they came to the president of the old Jamaat and said, what is this? What are you doing about it? They said, we're doing nothing. This is the wish of the Commissioner of Police and we are obeying it. And they said, no, we can't have this because we want to keep our vows. How do we keep our vows on the Alam of the Prophet? If that Alam is not coming to our areas, we will have problems coming to your areas. And the president said, now look, we have accommodated you and we will accommodate you. What we can tell you is that you come to our areas, we will have volunteers to protect you when you come to our areas. And when you come to our areas, we will have special places where we will stop the alarm and you will come and fulfill your vows. And they said, there are so many Hindus who want to perform their vows, how many places will you give us? We are going to see, we are heading on to the commercial police, we are going to see him on Saturday, we want you to be present. President said, I prefer to be present to respect you, I cannot open you my mouth. And he says, no, I don't want you to open your mouth, just come. They went and told the commissioner of police that we must have these protections coming into our area because we have these vows and these vows have to be fulfilled on the other Muhammad of the Prophet of Islam and the commissioner of police said to him, this is for your protection. I do not want problems between Shias and Hindus this time or between Muslims and Hindus. I want a peaceful procession. And the president said, we assure you that if you have peaceful procession, add these areas onto your map, and we guarantee we Hindus will have volunteers all the way through, and we will make sure that the protection goes to them. It's a miracle of the fastening. And the commissioner please allow it, and you have your protection going out in the normal way, all because of the fastening. So you can see the love of our faith. active in miraculous ways. Muhammad Al-Fatih not only helps Shias, he helps non-Shias, he helps non-Muslims. Why all these powers that Allah has given us, because all power comes from Allah, all ability to help and perform hajjat of other people comes from Allah. But it shows that the barza of Hazrat Al-Fatih is touched, that he is alive and he is replying and he assists and he is able to give help when everybody else has failed. The glory of Hazrat Al-Fatih is even after having lost his arm, even after he has lost his arm, he is yet able to help people in all respects, various parts of the world, and at any very time. Yet, the way he helps is absolutely phenomenal. That hadith, and I will quickly say to you, because we've heard it so many times from the show, the times of the Wakil, when people were not allowed to go to the Zariya of Imam, to the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The Zariya at that time was a very small Zariya, but the people were not allowed to go at that time. A widow goes there, he's stopped by the police of Mr. Wakil, they cut her, they and they threw her into the water, and when they threw her into the water, she shouted for Abbas, and I'm saying, "Ya Abbas, you are the one who looks after me, the one who prepared the nation. This is what it happened to me. How will you help me? How will you leave me?" And suddenly somebody appears, joins her two hands, picks up the two hands from the water, joins her two hands, the two hands are two arms are now working, joins the two legs are now working, and she's able to do all that, and just her climb on my back, she climbs on his back, and she brings her to the shore. When he brings her to the shore, the lady says, "I have a seen your arm. You can look in my arms, I have a seen your arm. In my hand, I took this, and this is, oh lady, I lost my arms the other day, oh my God, that was my arms on that day." She said, "I went to Surat only to drink water for Sakira. I have been given a bunch. All my life I loved Sakira. She was the most beloved daughter of Imam Hussain and he said to me, and I could not live without her. I always fulfilled all my promises to Sakira, but Allah's wish never gets there. I was not able to. I took that statement and I was going back home. I was going back now to the Mecca. And the Prophet cut my left arm. I'm now without the left arm. But I picked up the Haram of the right arm. This is the frame of your father, the path of the Islam. Thirsty and hungry of 3 days. He picked up that Haram in the right hand. Then the right arm is also seven. He says, oh lady, I have lost both his arms. What do I spend when I get here? And he disappears. This is how Abbas believes in Allah. And the grace of Allah is not easily able to fulfill the wishes of every person. No sick person goes to his day without coming up well. Indeed, when you enter the burial of the father in the last, you feel yourself in a hospital. Oh, so many sick people surrounding his grave. Indeed, to continue from where that lady stopped, where the other father in the last picked up everything in the right hand and the right, when the right arm goes, now what is a father in the last to do? But look at the strength of a father in the last. What is love? He immediately grabs the Arab and holds the Arab with his chest, grabs the fish and holds it in his teeth and moves on, so that the Arab of the Prophet, the Arab of the Prophet, remains straight, that flesh that was to keep Islam alive till today and till the day of judgment, remains alert. This is why when we take out the Arab of the Prophet, we do not allow it to fall. Is the body, the Allah is always straight and vertical. Indeed, Abbas alayhi salam moves on, and then comes the arrow. The arrow, 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 the arr بعض الإنجلات في حبات الآن إن كثرت داري وقال now you have broken my way I'm not able to improve in my spine I cannot even stand in the head how have you decided to go away leaving me behind I said we would fight together but and you have got away she said Mawla I have a few moments left Then when I was born, you are the first person that I saw. As I die, I want to be able to see you. And Rahu said, Alexander, why don't you? He said, there is blood in my eyes. If Rahu said, Alexander, there has been blood. Rahu just ran to him and said, and said, Mawla, please, I beg you, Diana, before I depart. The Mawla, don't take my body to the street.
رحم الله من يكره الفاتحه